Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Welcome to another episode of the Shape of Work podcast. Our guest today is Aditya Venkateshan, who is responsible for branding at Meesho. Aditya, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Before we get into the theme that we want to discuss today, which is employer branding, and I know, you know, this is going to be a very deep conversation, really excited for it. Let us, you know, set some context for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey till now.
Perfect. Okay. Very quickly, I started off being a journalist, worked at Reuters for about 2 years, learned an insane amount from Reuters, learned how to read a P&L statement, understood the value of numbers, understood what in the world a Dow 30 is. So, all of that. Devoured reading statements. So I love understanding about companies and reading about IPO and how they work, things like that. So from there, from unveiling the truth about companies, I went into public relations, which is protecting the truth for companies. I was very lucky because I did that around 2014 or so. I joined that and I did it for a whole bunch of companies. InMobi, Razorpay, a little bit for Quikr. Also did a bunch of PR for, you know, enterprise clients, so Salesforce, Red Hat, eMudra, a whole bunch of companies like that. The beauty of it is I got very lucky, right? I was at a time when the startup ecosystem was booming, got to write communication charters for a whole bunch of companies. So I learned immensely about this and I love just sort of devouring all this information. And PR at that point, and still to a large extent, is a very sort of, I won't say nascent industry, for lack of a better word, they just don't have the best talent on board for PR, right? I don't think they have that ecosystem in place. And I still think that's true till date, and I can back it with data as well. But anyway, moving on from PR, I realized that I sort of became a middleman, and I was the one trying to tell people what to do without me doing anything, right? So you've become typically what is like a average consultant, right? You don't have any skin in the game. You're hoping that someone else will do that. And I did like that to a large extent, and I wanted to be the person effecting change. So I figured out, okay, who do I join and do this, right? And Gojek presented itself, and I realized, okay, Gojek seems like an interesting opportunity. Gojek was actually number 4 on my list, by the way, but that's a story for another day. Bottom line, joined Gojek, and I said, okay, here's a few things I want to do, and Gojek just onboarded me, and they didn't really think too much of it. My boss at that point said, okay, we need to attract talent. That was the brief, right? And no one knows about us and we are killing it. And that's it. And I went about practicing my craft in the whole of 2018. I keep telling this to people, right? If someone came and asked me, okay, show me your OKRs and show me what you've done, I had nothing to show. It was zilch, because all I did was hygiene. Basic things about getting the blog ready, getting the website ready, how should we talk in the org, making sure there's a high bar for the kind of content that goes in, very basic, trivial things like that. And suddenly 2019 and onwards, you know, Gojek started becoming popular, because you go back to our archives and you see material anywhere, and then you go to engineers, you go to product managers and talk to them, you will eventually realize, okay, wait a second, there is a certain sense of caliber here, right? And that all started by typical janitorial work, as one would call it. So I went from unveiling the truth to protecting the truth to some form of propagandist now. And that's what I do now.
Fantastic. Great story. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I tweeted this out sometime back, you know, marketing is a lot of unsexy work in the background, you know, just maintaining sheets and docs and doing a lot of ops and growth. Mm. The growth hacker pill sellers don't tell you this. They will just give you, you know, these tips and such. But very true, you know, till 2018, of course, because I have always been in the startup ecosystem, I knew about Gojek. But, you know, suddenly you could see Gojek everywhere, right? And it suddenly yeah. became this company which is present in all the events. You know, everyone's talking about it. Engineers suddenly want to work for Gojek. It's like, if not the top company, at least in the top three for every engineer. How did that happen? Like, how did you go from being known as this, okay, this nice company, niche company that, you know...
No, one knew about Gojek. No one knew about Gojek. We can say it as much.
How do you go from there to, you know, just being everywhere?
So one is the whole janitorial aspect of the work, right? Which is just a lot of hygiene, right? I've spoken about this to multiple people, right? Which is, you have to understand if an engineer needs to join, or a product manager, whoever, right? If they have to join, what will they do? Like, if you take your top engineer, a top engineer can get a job anywhere. So that's not the issue. Can obviously get money as well. Not the issue. So what do they really want, right? So the base top level is they want to do interesting work, right? Number one, which majority of the companies can offer, right? And Gojek obviously had those. So that was obviously ticked off. If you don't have that, then your no amount of branding can solve anything, right? I've said this before, right? It would be preposterous for someone to suggest that a marketer can come and shape things in an engineering product org. And that's a big, big problem, because a marketer can only explain or do what is already there. And if that is not there, then nothing is going to work, right? So in a sense, I also get attention that I've got is not necessarily me. It's about the team already being good, right? And I just help that narrative out. Yeah, so that's one. But largely is about looking at all these touch points. So number one, a good engineer will always have connections. So they'll speak to fellow connections, right? Yeah. But again, I can't solve for that, right? You already have to be good, or you have to have 10 people who will pitch for your organization, right? And they have to do the right things. Right. So we identified that. And then we realized, okay, we have to send out a word. Who are these 10 people? Like, we looked at people like Sidhu and Niranjan, people who have skin in the game, who are engineers, right? We looked at them and said, okay, here's how you pitch Gojek. Here are the things you should talk about. Here are the things that are interesting. And we did that across the board, right? Engineers, product managers, I sent a note to the organization. So we did all of that, number one. Number two is, we said, okay, you're doing interesting work and you want someone to come and join your team now, because you claim to be inundated with a lot of work. The only way you're going to do that is first tell us what you're solving, write a blog, and we'll use that as material to be able to sell, right? So again, everything that you see in the blog, I have nothing to do with it, right? What did I do? I just put an editorial sort of sanctity to it. All the articles, pieces you see are written by engineers or product managers. I just came in and said, here's a better headline. Here's a clickbaity caption. Here's a better way of structuring that flow, right? So we did a lot of that. And how do you go about that? I mean, you incentivize engineers.
That's something that I want to discuss. Of course, you downplayed your role a lot. It is very important to package information. But one of the things, and I have spoken to several people in the marketing departments who want people in product or engineering to write more, but they're just not able to get them to write. So was it because of the culture at Gojek? People were already primed to document their experiences, write a lot more? Or was it something that you did or your team did that made them, write as much as you're saying they did?
Yeah, so a couple of things there, right? One thing we did was we realized, what is the incentive for someone to write? Right? Like, why shouldn't, that's not the core job. Engineers is to build, product managers to look at product. Exactly. No one's paying them or no one's doing anything to do this, right? So what we did is first we said, okay, the most basic thing to crack is first incentivize them monetarily, right? So we said, we'll give you a certain monetary amount for each piece you write. But I mean, people earning more than 30, 40, 50 lakhs, 2,000 rupee Amazon voucher is nothing, right? But that sort of got the ball moving, right? We did that. Number two, what we did was we realized, okay, no one wants to write, but what if we create a culture of people wanting to write internally so that they can pitch themselves to other people in the org, right? And every organization will have these pods, right? Like, correct. One pod, their focus is to do X. For a Gojek, for example, one pod is to focus on how to looking at just GoFood. And in GoFood, you'll have, again, five pods. One is looking at catalog, one is looking at search features, and one is looking at how driver interaction, so on and so forth, right? So what we did was we essentially went to each of these teams and we said, here's a way you can pitch yourself and say, what is it that you do? So each team started maintaining internal wikis, right? Which became an insanely good practice. Because when you're an organization of 400 or 500 people, I mean, at that point, Gojek was about 150 or so. It got very difficult to understand, what is your team doing? Tell me what you're solving, right? And a lot of organizations don't do this, right? Organizations I speak to routinely, they're like, oh, documentation, you know what, we'll figure that later. But it's so simple. You maintain an internal wiki saying, here's our team structure. Here are the problems we're solving. Here's what we're going to solve. Here's what we have solved. That's it, very simple. So we quickly realized engineers were okay writing it internally, but they were very averse to writing it externally because there's also this fear of judgment. You know, is this interesting? This is not a big deal, all of that. So yeah, the moment we started seeing people writing internally, then it became my job to go and speak to some folks and tell them, hey, this makes for an interesting story. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And then I'll try and pitch and I'll try and push. So individually, it became a lot more easier. So my job was just that, going to individual people and telling them, okay, this is a story, this is a story. Yeah, when people saw me, they'll be like, you just need to wear this t-shirt saying, give me stories. Yeah, that was initially, right? And then what we did was we pushed these stories on social. Uh-huh. And the commitment from marketing is we're going to invest significant, you know, marketing dollars to promote the story.
Right.
And eventually, once that story became interesting, different other engineers from other orgs started reaching out to this person, right? Mm-hmm. And then they, hey, this is an interesting thing on Kafka. Let's can you walk me through how this works? So that tacit recognition for an engineer from someone else about solving a problem, now that high cannot be quantified, right? That high is another level because a stranger reaching out to you and telling you, this is interesting, tell me more. And that became the Gojek bedrock, right? So for 1 year, it was me asking people. And for the next 2 years is me telling people, no, we won't publish more than two blogs a week because that's the bar. Yeah. But yeah. It takes its own time and course. And now it's, I've never gone, I think the last 1.5 years since I've been in Gojek or 2 years or so, I've never gone and asked someone, please contribute something. I've said, this is interesting on mail, but I've not personally ever gone and done it because I didn't need to. There's enough I need to curate and the team needs to curate as well.
Got it. No, now it makes sense. You know, now the engineers are getting recognized by other engineers in other companies. And of course, that's a big deal because when you're working in an organization where essentially you are, you know, sitting with other engineers, just like you, just like you mentioned, right? Many a times you do things and you don't get recognized for it because it's just another thing that engineers do. Yeah. But you talk about it, you write about it. That's one way of getting into getting recognition from engineers in other companies. What else did you? Of course, this is a great starting point. What else did you do? What were the other steps taken to scale this sort of?
Got it. I mean, you're talking about branding overall?
Branding, yes, overall.
So one is just this, right? Which is blogs. And that became a huge, huge component, right? Because we have a consistent pipeline of material that we can push, right? Another one that I think really worked well for us is events and conferences. So in events and conferences, our strategy was fairly simple. We'll never attend an event where we are not prominent in that event, right? We have to be super prominent at that event. And also, we'll pick events that really matter to us, right? Like, so for example, closure conferences, go-to-line conferences. Now, these are conferences where a whole bunch of companies don't attend because they're not even aware of it, some, right? And so we quickly found out from our own developers and from the industry, what are these key conferences that you have to attend? And then we'd get our heavy hitters there. We'd get some really rock solid people to come and pitch, right? We don't get recruiters to this, right? Once in a while, but because recruiters can't pitch domain knowledge. And we understood that, right? So we'd sacrifice one engineer to say, come over, please, and just do this. This is important for your team.
You can just talk their language because if you're talking to an engineer, talking to them is definitely
I mean, as a marketer, I found it very difficult to pitch. If someone asks you a tech stack, I can say this is tech stack, and then if they ask me, tell me in Kubernetes what all do you guys do, and I'll be like, okay, then I don't know. I just know it's called Kubernetes, right? So we did that, and also every event and conference we went to, we do something interesting, right? Like we wanted people to come to the booth because it's fashionable to be at the Gojek booth. It's interesting to talk to characters there, right? So we do very simple, stupid things like I was recollecting this story where, okay, so we built a VR game and we just did it, right? We just said, okay, we are going to do a whole bunch of conference. This is going to be there forever. And we put a VR game right in front of our booth and people could come and play a VR game. And in that VR game was this whole idea of, it's a shooting game, right? So people will move and it's a lot of fun, right? And not many people have experienced VR at that scale. But also more importantly, you get a sort of tour of Gojek's products, right? So there's Go Med and then you get medicines once you're hit a little. And the Go car comes swerving down and I've seen funny images of people moving back like that and things like that, right? So yeah, we did a whole bunch of things like that. But the idea was in any event and conference we go, we had to be prominently placed in that event, right? And we won't just be the average hitter there. Yeah, the typical 50-pound gorilla, as I've claimed in multiple forums.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I can attest to that as well. You know, I have been in a couple of events where the Gojek booth is present. And yeah, mostly it is the booth that is the most crowded. Also because you give out nice swag, right? So
yeah, so that strategy worked out really well, right? Which is it's kind of come to bite me in some fashion because I joined Meesho and I'm looking at my laptop camera cover and then it's a Gojek camera cover. And I was like, oh God, I need to get one for Meesho. So you know, the laptop camera cover is like an instant hit, right? And of course, the t-shirts. You know, people ask me, what metrics do you track in employer branding, right? And one metric, we don't really track it, but it's a fun thing we sort of keep account is how many people wear a Gojek t-shirt in their parties or in any way, and they post it on social media, right? Nice. There were more than 10, 12 times we have seen people wearing a Gojek t-shirt, but they're not from Gojek, which is like a really fun thing to sort of track. Yeah, so all loose metrics like this also played a part.
Yeah. But in terms of metrics and, you know, going a step back, we now understand how you got buy-in from the engineers themselves, right? Mm-hmm. To write about what they're doing, to attend, conferences on the team's behalf, talk to other engineers. Yeah. What did the buy-in look like? Like, did you have to get buy-in from the top management, as in the founders? Or was it, implicit from day one?
So there are a couple of things there, right? One is people never expected things to blow up as it blew up, right? So that's one. And two is the things that I did is not typically employer branding, right? I mean, it's such a new industry that anyone can claim what it is and what it isn't. But what I did was I took your typical marketing tactics. And I put that on an engineering product spin. That's it, right? And the beauty of why it worked is because it wasn't a marketer marketing. It was a marketer speaking to an engineer and an engineer marketing via a marketer, right? Now, there's a huge distinction. The distinction is very simple. If a marketer markets, then you're going to get BMW bikes, right? But if an engineer markets, then you're going to get some quality of premium there, right? Okay. So, and that was essentially the goal, which is be the voice of the engineering team and don't be the voice of a marketing team or any other team. And that's how that employer branding narrative just worked. And in terms of buy-ins, things became easy because one is no one expected it to get big. That's, of course, the source of truth. But also the second portion of it is after certain milestones, but you also need to earn respect in the org, right? Like, because ultimately you're a marketer, right?
Correct.
You have to say that I know what I'm doing. I know the difference between Kafka, the software, and Kafka, the author. I can probably talk a little bit on closure. I understand the difference between closure and Golangs. You needed to earn that respect, right? And for me, that was, you know, making some friends with engineers, you know, asking the dumbest questions, being really nice to them, getting all of this idea. Then you have a seat at the table, right? Otherwise, you just can't be that person doing engineering sort of marketing. So the moment we got that on board and then we spoke to a whole bunch of engineers, got that flavor ready. And then they were good with whatever we did. And of course, we ran past a lot of things that we did. Some of them didn't like what we did. Some of them said it was okay. But ultimately, I think once we knew we were confident about where we stood and we beta tested a few things, we went mass market.
Got it. I was, you know, going to get to the BMWs at some point, given that we are talking about employer branding, and some would say it was an exercise in employer branding. But do you think it's an example of what not to do when it comes to employer branding?
It is. And I'll tell you why. It's fairly simple, right? Do you know what the bench is? Infosys and Wipro and organization, they have this thing called the bench, right?
The bench maybe some of our, maybe, yeah. Oh, okay,
you should explain it. Anyway. No, you should explain
it. No, because I was going to say, you know, we have global audience here, so they might not understand.
Okay, so to put it very simply, the bench is a phenomenon in India where you hire someone and some organizations pay them half the salary or some organizations don't pay them, but you're in payroll. I mean, you're employed and you're sitting on a typical football sort of bench in the hope that you'll be substituted for someone once they're burnt out or they leave or you get some projects come underway. Correct. Did I get that right? That
makes sense? Mostly perfect. Because, you know, you might get a big project at some point and you can't then say that, oh, we will hire 300 people for you in the next 3 months.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So this kind of marketing of BMW, right, is for folks at the bench, right, who don't necessarily have inherent skills that a complex engineer needs or don't have skills on programming languages that are so necessary for new age startups like you know, we work in. So the bottom line of that is fairly simple, right? That if you're paying if you're giving someone a BMW bike worth rupees 2 lakhs or 2.5, 3 lakhs, signing bonuses for engineers are about 10 lakhs. So your creme de la creme engineers are not going to fall for that marketing tactic. It doesn't interest them at all. I mean, they're always going to go back and check with employees in an organization. They're always going to go back and check online reviews. They're going to go to your website. They're going to go to your blogs. See if this all makes sense. They're never going to fall for that tactic ever. And our goal is to attract only the premium. We don't necessarily want people who are learning the ropes, right? We want people who are good at what they do. That is Gojek's objectives. And look, organizations have different objectives, right? There are organizations who want people who probably are not at that level. They want 1 year experience, 2 years experience. Then I guess probably makes sense, I guess. But when your signing bonuses are north of 15 lakhs, 30 lakhs, 40 lakhs, a 3W BMW, 3 lakh BMW bike is pointless.
Yeah. I just realized we didn't even set the context for this. So people who don't know a unicorn company, we don't want to take names. A unicorn company ran this campaign in India a couple of months back, wherein, you know, they were offering BMW bikes to, because they were hiring 100 engineers. And they wanted as many applications as possible. I'm guessing they want to fill up their top of the funnel. So they were offering BMW bikes and a bunch of that sort of stuff. And this was a huge debate or discussion in the Twitter community as well as the LinkedIn community. Yeah, that's that. Now, Aditya, of course, you've worked for a brand where, you know, you were trying to attract engineers. And while we are on this BMW and all of this, one of the challenges that companies, recruiters, founders across the globe, not just India, I have spoken to now on this podcast, founders from Canada, from US, from Europe, who are facing this challenge. Salaries have bumped up a lot. In India, we are seeing, you know, at least 50% to as much as 100% jumps. Even in the US, I was just speaking to someone from Canada and they said, you know, almost all of their employees are getting offered anywhere between 40 to 60% raise. Is employer branding enough?
Employer branding in some ways, right? This role is only, you can only succeed in this role if an organization is good, but it needs someone to tell the world that it's good. An employer branding person cannot affect as many policy level changes. I mean, picture this, right?
Got it.
Let's say your engineering principal, and this is an example that I quote often, is an engineering principle called pair programming. What is pair programming? Essentially says two people sit together, one junior, one senior engineer. They code together. The senior engineer potentially learns some new interesting things from the junior engineer. The junior engineer learns a lot of things from the senior engineer, obviously, right? Another way to extrapolate this is you could put something on struck factors. A struck factor is essentially, if it's a ghastly thing, but I'll say it nonetheless, is in a project, if someone gets hit by a truck, will that project survive? In a pair programming scenario, you essentially have two people programming and you're hoping that even if one is, you know, gets hit by a truck, others will work, right? But of course, that it's in a larger team size, but not to complicate things. Essentially, it's about two people sitting there and getting the job done. That's the summation of pair programming. Now, sorry, what was your question again? I lost track of the question.
Where? Okay, I could actually rephrase.
Oh, is employee branding only enough? Yeah. So in a scenario like this, right? If as a policy, if you have pair programming as your engineering sort of guideline or your engineering principle, then a marketer can go and tell the world that we believe in something like this. But imagine a marketer going and telling an organization, now you, an engineering CTO, right, going and telling him that you need to now implement this in your role. Now that would be simply preposterous, right? Because you are trying to affect policy level change.
Correct.
So an employer branding person cannot affect as many policy level changes. At best, you can potentially say, here's the industry, but that's also the domain of the HR person to also validate that, right? But in some fashion, an employer branding person can come and say that, look, this is how the industry behaves. Here are things you need to do, right? Which is, it could be as trivial as giving mental health wellness leaves because other organizations are doing it, or it could be something a little more complex, right? In terms of, please frame your engineering guidelines. Tell us that so that I can market it. But it can't be as complex as now you have to figure out, this is not how engineering needs to work. Or your product, the way you arrange product is not this one. Or probably you need to use Asana instead of Jira because that's the way forward. That's not the job of an employee branding person, right? Your organization already has to be good, right? So in many ways, as an employer branding person, my only job is to sort of pick companies that are already good. So I'm not doing much really. I'm only just trying to narrate a story, and that story is already good. And if that story is not good, there is no one who can change that. Because as I said, it will come out in public relations because journalists will get wind of if bad culture. That's bound to happen, number one. Number two is if your organization's anyway bad, there are multiple platforms like Glassdoor and so many others where people will go and say it's bad. Word of mouth is very strong. This is a very tight-knit community. You will, again, that word will go out. So there's nothing you can do about that. And number four is, of course, the very simple fact that the organization itself is not equipped to match what an employer branding person says. And no amount of budgets, I can't go and say this is an awesome organization, but the organization just cannot map up to that level. And that it will last for a month or two, but eventually people will see right through it. And there's nothing you can do about it.
No, and true, right? Very true. Even I have said this to several people, and you mentioned this at the beginning of our conversation. If the product itself is not good, most marketers won't be able to do much with it. And that's true. Like, even I say today, when I worked at Your Story, I came up looking good because the numbers were improving and such, but because of the fact that, you know, these writers and journalists were doing so many nice stories, right? So that made my life easy. It made marketing easy and all of that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you have only people doing employer branding for just the top 1% or 2% of the companies, right? Pretty sure. I mean, I agree with you. Policy level changes, maybe they'll not be able to do. Uh-huh. But what can they do if the product is not that great, which is, you know, the...
Got it.
Or, okay, let's say at least you have a buy-in from the founder saying that we want to, you know, work on this. We want to work on our culture. We want to improve that, but it will take time. That is not the sort of thing that happens in a quarter. What do you do as an employer branding person in that scenario? Like what you just got the charter for employer branding. What are the first few things you're doing?
Basically for a smaller organization, you mean?
For a smaller organization. I don't think it's possible for like 2000 plus. Now the culture is, it's ingrained. You can't do anything.
It's ingrained. Exactly. Yeah. No, for small organizations, you can do a lot. I mean, I took a brief sort of break in between about, and I spoke to a whole bunch of companies, right? And a lot of them wanted to reach out and they wanted to see what they could be done. The majority of whom I spoke to were smaller companies. You know, lesser than $500 million to lesser than about $30, $40 million valuation, right? And for them, this becomes very critical because that first five engineers set the tone for the organization and build product and things like that, right? So it gets very, very critical for them to do well. For an organization like this, okay, so as an employer branding person, if you are there, then your job is not just employer branding. It's too narrow a focus. Then it's employer branding, corporate branding, marketing. You need to look at all those three aspects.
Correct.
when you're at a smaller startup, correct, right? But if I were to narrow down and say, okay, let's just pick this one and you're in a small organization, what is it that you do? Number one is you need to first make sure your website is top dog, right? Because that's the first funnel. You can't sell, let's hypothetically take this example, right? Let's say Meesho is sub $30, $40 million valuation at this point. If I have to convince an engineer, they will go check out the website. So you want to make sure that that's top dog, right? Then you want to make sure there's some material about you in blogs, right? Which is explaining who we stand for. What is it that we do? What interesting challenges do you have? One thing people definitely overlook is job descriptions, right? A great place to explain. So job descriptions is, I hate it when I see this line, strong communication skills needed. And it's like a copy paste from every job description in the world, right? It means nothing. And I don't know who came up with this template and is there everywhere. Interpersonal relationships needed. It makes no sense, right? So a job description portal, I mean, a good job description is a great pitch, right? You can add flavor about your team. And Gojek did this exercise. It's not as good as I wanted it to be, but we got somewhere there, right? Which is explaining the interesting things the team does. And it could be as simple as, hey, we just watched the latest Netflix show that gave color about the team. We are four people in the team. Here are interesting things we learned. Here are interesting things we did. So that can become a good selling point, right? And lastly, you have to tell the founders to get more social. And there's no way this world does not belong to introverts anymore. Right. That was going to be my next question,
by the way. How much involvement do you need from the founders on social?
Yeah, you don't need direct involvement, right? It's a good hire is essentially mimicking a founder, right? What you're doing is a good hire essentially says, okay, this is how my founder behaves. This is how they talk. This is the kind of language they use. And these are topics that they are interested in. And then you frame what they need to talk about, right? Correct. Because again, a founder can't do everything. And that's why you're hired. You can't go back and say, go and write more.
Fair enough.
Then why are you hired, right? So then your job is to sort of be that sort of third wheel in a founder's cog, right? And then you're figuring out, oh, here are interesting things I need to do. And here's how I position this founder. So yeah, you need to get out there, speak about your company, talk about things that value. And of course, no escaping the fact that you need to pay top. Otherwise, it's not a world where it's just about, you know, perks and benefits and culture and interesting things. You also have to make sure you are reasonably good with money. Everything else will follow suit.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's fair. And you mentioned color, and that definitely comes from a journalism background, right? And we were always told to add color to the story. If you're visiting a startup's office, did you see they were pet friendly? So, you know, you speak about you entered and then you see these nice dogs and you start the story with that. So that's an interesting point as well. Couple of tactical things before we end here. Aditya, what are the tools of your trade? If an employer branding person, someone is getting into employer branding, what sort of tool stack should they look to acquire? Who should they follow? Things of that sort.
Tools. I've done the practice of following what the organization follows, right? So something as basic as Slack because org follows Slack to something a little more complex like Asana because the org follows Asana, right?
Got it.
But getting the team sort of potty trained in this hygiene of data keeping, right? It can be Notion, it can be Google Docs, but making sure you have those documentation in place, right? That is very important. We had an internal wiki which became our source of truth. And if anyone wanted to know what are our guidelines, what are our principles, if I want to submit a blog, what should I do? All of that was very neatly documented. So, and that wiki, in fact, in all the Gojek wikis, this is again engineering practice. We had a change log which is if someone changed two words somewhere, you need to write a change log in below. Wow. Now that's cultural philosophy, right? Because that's how engineering looks at things. So we are going to do the same things, right? So you have to mimic what your engineering and product org does. So that's one on tooling. But the skill sets you really need is you need to know about your industry. You need to read a lot, and you need to either shadow write for yourself or just keep writing. That's the only way you're going to get this through, right? It shocks me to no end that when you join a company, if you join a food tech startup, if you can't name who's the largest food tech startup in the world, what's the valuation? What's your average daily orders? What is your average order volume? Then you don't know about that industry, right? And this is the trap that most marketers fall into, right? They focus so much on marketing, they don't understand sort of industry context. And when you don't understand industry context, you don't get a seat at the table. And this is a rule across my teams, at least, right? There's no one who will go and sit with an engineer and talk with an engineer without understanding what this engineer does. It's literally stalk the engineer. Go and check his profile, check her LinkedIn, check her everything. Get an understanding of who this is. Get 5 questions. Be very prepared when you go for that interview. That's the only time you will earn respect with someone. Otherwise, you're a marketer coming and asking some random questions. No, be very pointed, be very focused. And in many cases, we send like a pre-meeting thing, right? Like, here are things we need. Here's what we know about you. It's all right if people don't read it, but it shows our research. And that research is super important.
Yeah. No, I keep getting this recurring theme of, you know, getting your seat at the table, gaining that respect. And I think those become very critical, at least in the first quarter that you are there.
Yeah.
Cool. Great conversation. Loved this conversation, Aditya. I know for a fact that you are active on Twitter and LinkedIn. Is there anywhere else people can find you or read from you? Read anything from you?
There's Medium, Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, you LinkedIn, do write on Medium as well?
Yeah. I mean, I've written only templates now because it keeps coming, right? How do I hire a marketer? Can you help us think about employee branding? So I'm like, templates are there on Medium.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense. We will, of course, you can find Aditya's Twitter and LinkedIn in the show notes of this podcast. Okay, that's it then. Great conversation on employer branding. We understood a lot of things. Thanks for sharing your experiences, Aditya. And we wish you the best for your next stint.
Thank you so much, Abhash. This was fun chatting with you as well. Thank you.